Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party.
Is it any wonder that I've fallen for you? You're the spell I'm under, and I'm helpless, it's true. Is it any wonder why my skies are so blue when I search the
country. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party. What you are witnessing tonight is a soft probe by the communists. They are testing us to see if we will react adversely to a gun seizure. And that's what they're doing. They're doing a soft communist probe. Based on your reaction, we'll determine how they maneuver tomorrow. And the day after, Wyoming has just announced, or is it Montana? Montana, I think, just announced any federal agents who come to seize guns will be arrested. So that's telling the communists that they can't send federal agents who will be outnumbered. So what they will have to do is send federal agents and troops. So are they prepared to do that? As the resistance stiffens, they will have a mess on their hands. So right now they're testing you and me to see how strong we are going to take a stand. And it is best that they learn not to do it. So having said that, let me give you my pre-recorded show, and I'm listening with you.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. They want to take our guns away, those bad guys. And pray that the communists never take your guns away. Just praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, and we'll all stay free.
You
I did a blog today, and I'll share it with you. I sent it out to the usuals. Anybody that will accept my blogs and don't return bad words. And the title of the first blog was Late Breaking News: All Catholic Schools Will Have Armed Guards. And I almost said armed God. And then right underneath that I have a picture of three nuns with long rifles. And then I went to a topic called Gun Fashion. And it's a fashion show for ladies that pack heat. Welcome, ladies, to Guns, Bath, and Beyond. Down the runway comes Annie with a lovely three-piece suit, a beautiful pair of Louis Vuitton silver heels, and a stunning Coach gun bag. Today's petite model carries a pearl-handled five-round Derringer called the Mind Changer. And our second model is wearing an exquisite ball gown by Smith & Wesson. And she's sporting a sleek 35 Marlin with the flip-away night scope. Her Givenchy ammo belt holds 30 rounds. No clip for this gal. Just the one that holds her hair in a fancy French bun. Our third model, wearing a shooter vest and jeans, is sporting a fancy pair of saddle boots with a smart bayonet holder, is loaded for bear or communists. Her ladylike over-and-under shotgun is topped off with a laser lighter, which verifies a clean kill. Today's show was presented by the Spirit of America Party. Our motto is, the Second Amendment is not for hunters. It is to prevent being hunted by tyrants like Andrew Mussolini Cuomo. Yeah, he'll seize everybody's guns, but he won't go into the ghetto to get them. He doesn't go into the ghetto. Today's show was presented. I told you that. Okay. Bartender, a champagne, and the lady will have a double shot of militia brandy. Attention, Communist Journal of New York. This neighborhood is protected by the Crossfire Association, and the ladies are represented by the Vigil anti-law firm of Remington, Mossberg, and Glock. And then we're going to give you the history of the Oscars. Stand by. Wet your beak. Have a potato chip. The next tune we'll dedicate to Joy Behar, the jihadist from Al Jazeera, and the The View.
She comes on like a rose, but everybody knows she'll get you in touch. You can look, but you better not touch.
Poison ivy, poison ivy.
Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes a-creeping around.
She's pretty as a daisy, but look, I'm mad, she's crazy. She'll really do you in if you let her get under your skin.
Poison ivy, poison ivy. Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes a-creeping around.
Measles will make you bumpy, and mumps will make you lumpy, chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool ya, and whooping cough can cool ya.
But poison ivy, Lord, will make you itch.
You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound
the minute you start to mess around.
Poison ivy.
Poison ivy.
comes a creeping around.
Measles will make you bump it, and mumps will make you lump it, and chicken pox will make you jump and twitch. A common cold will fool you, and whooping cough and cool you.
But for the night of law will make you itch.
You're gonna need an ocean of calamine lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound
the minute you start to mess around.
Poison ivy, poison ivy.
Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes creeping around.
La 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 la.
Everybody's excited. The Oscars are out. And the only decent one that's up there is Daniel Day-Lewis. What they ought to do is take all the money from all the other actors and give it to Daniel Day-Lewis. Because they don't deserve it. Yes, especially the Obama champagne contributions that George Clooney gives. Okay, so here's the history of the Oscars. When Moses came down from the mountain, he discovered one of the 13 tribes of Israel, the liberals, had sinned and turned away from the one true God. They worshipped the golden calf. Moses cast them out, and they moved to Hollywood, now known as Pornowood, where they melted down the golden calf, and they worshipped a new God, and they called him Oscar. The writers were known as the devil scribes, and the actors were known as Pharisees. As a punishment for offending God, Oscar was neutered. The baldness was a result of radiation poisoning, similar to the heavenly nuclear attack on Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, how the communists hate that Bible story. This year's satanic worshiping nominees are Hillary Clinton for the war movie Operation Blood Clot, the Benghazi cover-up. Susan Rice for her video production of The Muslim Brotherhood Does Cairo and Kathy Griffin. Osama bin Laden for his production of I Saved the Seals. Jane Fonda for her role as an American in Hanoi. She gives John McCain the Jane Fonda workout. John Kerry for the children's movie How to Drown a Hamster When No One is Looking. That's by North Vietnam Productions and the Democrat Party of Death. Best Musical, Everything is Coming Up a Communistic, is starring Uday Pelosi, a.k.a. Nancy, who meets a sluggo. Best Scene, Nancy in a government grant of ballet shoes does her interpretation of her march on Selma on the Congress steps. Best BS Story, John Bennett Brennan stars in I Was a Hippie for the CIA. See John as he sanitizes Obama's Indonesian passport and Connecticut driver's license. Best song title, I Was Never an American. Nice earring, John. Best war movie, Saving Admiral Lemon. Best line, the Iranians will never nuke Israel this week. I have not yet begun to fight. Let's keep it that way. Can I get a show of hands up? Best Mystery, There's Nothing on Crazy's Hard Drive. A young, completely nuts Connecticut man gets a command from a video game to kill his mother, then go to school. Best Pro-Stalin Rewriting of American History by a Communist goes to Oliver Stone. Best Over the Edge Violence Training and Rape Documentaries goes to Quentin Tarantino. Best Nude Sumo Wrestling Demonstration Foreign Film goes to Michael Moore and Bill Maher in the Mohammed Bloomingdale movie Salt Shaker. Best military movie starring Jeffrey Immelt in the hit GE Jet Engines Can Fit in MiGs. Best remake of The Lost Weekend starring Hillary Clinton inspired Congress to pass the Benghazi Barstool Act of 2012. And by the way, it's amnesia, not magnesia. Worst movie of the year starring Eric Holder. My guns killed 70,000 Mexicans, so what? We need the drugs. Mark Rich Pardon 2, I Carry Bags. Best training film, Look Away by Planned Parenthood. It's only 4,700 kids a day. What's the big deal? The government pays for it. $1,500 a head. Best rerun, The Fort Hood, Texas Massacre and Muslim Prayers. Best scene, a clean-shaven terrorist gets hung in a wheelchair like we care. C-A-I-R. And the Obama pardon arrives too late. A bartender, a champagne. And give that the pretty lady down at the end of the bar an ice cream. Somebody gave me a calendar of history. You know, you tear a page off every day and you get the history. So I didn't tear it off, so I'm going to do them all with you right now. January the 1st, the Emancipation Proclamation takes effect, signed by President Lincoln, who was a Republican, and the Republican Party freed the slaves, and the slaves went and joined the Klan. And they've been in the Klan ever since. Yeah, unbelievable. That's January the 1st. And what happened in January the 2nd? Oh, I don't have January the 2nd. I must have lost it. January the 3rd, 1961, we severed relations with Cuba. Cuba, we showed no appreciation for Fidel Castro, who liberated all his people. And he spread communism throughout the land. And now Fidel is worth $670 million. And his people cut the sugar cane for free. And because we have boycotted Cuba, they've been having trouble eating, getting food, and all they can do is eat still life paintings. We're doing dates for up to January the 4th. Confederate General Roger Hanson dies. Roger Waitman Hanson joined the Confederate Army in September 1861. He was assigned to Fort Donelson. When U.S. Grant captured the post, Hanson was sent to a federal prison and was exchanged after 8 months and placed in command of the Orphan Brigade. The brigade was composed of 5,000 Kentucky residents who were cut off from their homes by the Union occupation of their state. And they participated in the Stones River Campaign, which we don't know anything about, but all we know is a lot of Americans died for what they believed in. And they will do it again when Obama comes to take their guns away. And watch out, boys, because you have no idea what you're playing with. Here's January the 5th. Benedict Arnold captures and destroys Richmond. American traitor and British Brigadier General Benedict Arnold enjoys his greatest success as a British commander. I never knew this. Arnold's 1,600 largely loyalist troops sailed up the James River at the beginning of January, landing in Westover, Virginia, and his men arrived at the virtually undefended capital city of Richmond. They burned much of the city the following morning. That's when he was with the British. And that's why the word traitor is synonymous to Americans with Benedict Arnold. To Europeans and Norwegians, it's Vilkud Quisling. The sad part about Benedict Arnold was he one time was a good American soldier, and he must have had regrets because when he died, he asked to be buried in his American uniform. 1942, January the 6th, Roosevelt commits the biggest arms buildup in U.S. history. My friends, we're in a country in decline. We can't even go to the moon anymore. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. We have given our industry to the Chinese who pollute the world. And we should be building new manufacturing facilities, the latest state of the art. And we should start, as a matter of fact, if it's made 100% in the USA, there should be no taxes on it. This day in U.S. military history, January the 7th, 1776, Sam Adams writes that the Confederation is not dead, but sleepeth. Gee, that's what they're saying about the Tea Party today. Everybody thinks the Tea Party is dead. I say we're just taking a nap. And when you come to take our guns away, we will definitely be awake for at least 8 hours a day. The day in U.S. military history, January the 8th, 1790, President George Washington delivers first a State of the Union address. How's that? How is that? After covering the clearly federal issues of national defense and foreign affairs, Washington urged federal influence over domestic issues as well. The administration desired money for and some measure of control over agriculture, commerce, and manufacturing, as well as science and literature. These national goals required a federal post office and post roads and a means of public education, which the president justified as a means to secure the Constitution by educating future public servants in the Republican principles of representative government. January the 9th, 1776. The pen is mightier than the sword. You ever heard that? Well, Thomas Paine was a penman. Originally published anonymously, Common Sense advocated independence for the American colonies from Britain and is considered one of the most influential pamphlets in American history. Credited with uniting average citizens and political leaders behind the idea of independence, Common Sense played a remarkable role in transforming a colonial squabble into the American Revolution. And we were talking about Benedict Arnold and his loyalist troops. You had 1,600 of them. In 1781, all who sided with Britain had to leave the United States. They went out on the last British ships that were heading towards Nova Scotia or England, and finally England. But that's where they all went. They went up to Canada. January 10th, 1923, Harding orders U.S. troops home from Germany. 4 years after the end of World War I, President Harding orders U.S. occupation troops stationed in Germany to return home. By the time the war ended in November 1918, more than 2 million American soldiers had served on the battlefields of Western Europe, and more than 50,000 of them had lost their lives. You see these ads for wounded warriors, wounded veterans, and you see guys and girls missing legs and eyes. The biggest casualty creator in this war against bad Muslims, the ones who killed us on 9/11, those deeply religious Muslims who believe that jihad is a sacrament, in that war, the biggest casualty creator is IEDs. What I would give to find a company who, through laser technology, can discover IEDs before our troops get into the killing zone of the IED, and to detonate it before our troops suffer any wounds. What I would give for that. And I got a feeling nobody's looking real hard for that. They're all looking to make money on repeat business, like prostheses. An American occupation force of 16,000 men was sent to Germany to be based in the town of Koblenz as part of the post-war Allied presence on the Rhine that had been determined by the Treaty of Versailles. In 1923, after 4 years in Germany, Harding offered the troops home. So that was January the 10th. And tomorrow, in 1861, Alabama secedes, is the fourth state to secede from the Union. And today, Texas is talking about secession. But everybody knows that won't happen. You come for the guns, and you'll see what happens. Yeah. You'll see what happens. So did I say that all... Yeah, I said all the loyalists had to leave the country. When the next revolution comes, all the loyalists will have to leave the country again. They'll have one sad day in Iraq. On the Euphrates River, the body of an American soldier was fished out of the water. He had been tortured and whipped before he was murdered. And his name was Corporal Anzac. I think it's A-N-Z-A-C-K. And his death went unnoticed. Nobody remembers his name. It's like when the press says that the American ambassador in Benghazi and three others. You can't name the three others. You can't name Woods, Smith, and Doherty. Just the American ambassador you name and three others? How about you name the three others and an American ambassador? Smith, Doherty, and Woods, and an American ambassador. Why do you not give them equal treatment? Aren't we all created equal as Americans? Doesn't it say that in the Declaration of Independence that the ACLU wants to destroy under orders from the KGB? We're in trouble. Jimmy from Brooklyn calls. He wants to get a T-shirt. A registered commies, not guns. Yeah, we're in trouble. He mentioned something, which is very, very interesting. It was a court decision. I don't know if it was a Supreme Court decision, but a judge's decision based on intimidation. That if you take away somebody's Second Amendment rights, you are intimidating them, and eventually they will lose the right to free speech, their First Amendment rights, because the fear of being retaliated against is no longer protected by the Second Amendment. Something to think about. I heard a guy call Hannity today. He was a cop, and he said, "There's no way I'm going to go and take guns away from another American. I'm not going to do it." So there goes his $50,000 a year job, and he'll be replaced by somebody who will. And that's where the axiom comes in: when the communists win, they win, and when they lose, they win. And you're going to have the same thing happen in the military. Because you're sexing it up, and you're turning the military into a brothel for sick people. And what's going to happen is good, decent people will not join the military because it's not the military of their fathers and their grandfathers. So, once again, when the communists win, they win, and when they lose, they win. We will have a weakened military. It will not be made of the best. It will be made of less than the best. And that's how you lose a country, and you lose a battle, and you lose a war. For the want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For the want of a horse, a battle was lost. For the want of a battle, a country was lost. And that's how it begins. On the plains of hesitation, bleached the bones of countless millions, who upon the threshold of victory sat down and waited. And waiting, they died. You think about that. We can't even go to the moon anymore. We're a country of losers. And tomorrow, if the stock market dropped 2,000 points, all the experts would tell you how it happened. But they can't tell you it's going to happen. You think about that, too. So where were we? We were looking for a tune? Oh, yes, we were talking about Robert Emmett. Robert Emmett was an Irishman who gave his life for his country, just like Corporal Anzac. Corporal Anzac died alone. He died without friends. He died without loved ones. The last thing he saw was some Taliban putting an end to his life. And they tortured him and they whipped him. And there was nobody there to hold his hand. There was nobody there to pray for him. My friends are not here to say goodbye. And so when I play this Irish tune about an Irish rebel who suffered the same consequences, I think of Corporal Anzac. When I think of Nathan Hale, who at 18 years old gave up his young life for a country that he didn't even see yet, I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. And then when I see Nathan Hale, who came from Connecticut and was educated at Yale, which used to be almost a seminary, it's now a home for communists, along with Harvard and Occidental College, anywhere Obama put his footprint. And when I see Nathan Hale give up his life for his country, and then I see senators like Joe Lieberman, who voted to burn the flag and votes to kill kids, and senators like this attorney general from Connecticut, who lied about being in a combat zone in Vietnam, and as an attorney general, and to thank him for his lying, the people of the state of Connecticut elected him to represent them in the Senate. I know our country is gone. It is no longer the country of Nathan Hale. By the way, there is another Irish song called The Crappie Boy, and The Crappie Boy was hanged by Lord Cornwallis, the same one who hanged Nathan Hale. The Irish weren't as fortunate as the Americans. They suffered 500 years of slavery. And don't think we can't suffer 500 years of slavery. The seeds of slavery are being sown all over again. And the last slaves that were captured in Africa befriended, betrayed by friends, and sold to the whites, are being betrayed by friends and sold to the communists. And they have no idea it's happening. And once again, it will be too late until you hear the snap of the shackle and the fetters. So, when you think of bold Robert Emmett, think of Corporal Anzac, Nathan Hale, and the country you're about to lose. And may this tale of woe never befall you.
The strong. And I, Robert Emmett, awaiting my doom. Hung, drawn, and quartered, sure that was my sentence. But soon I will show them no coward am I. My I was born in. For a hero I've lived, and a hero I'll die. Bold Robert Emmet, the darling of Erin.
Showing up at demonstrations, and they're wearing these masks, and those masks are created from a movie about the revolution. They're like 16th century masks, and they show one face. Why do they have to wear masks, these people? What are they hiding? Why are they afraid to show their faces? What's behind the mask? What evil lurks behind that mask? I got another game that somebody gave me dates that I could play, and this one is called the Amazing Trivia Facts Calendar. But the dates are, they're 2007. But I'll just give you some questions, see if you can figure out the answers. In what games do players sometimes use the fried liver attack, the bird defense, or the Gyoko piano opening? Give up chess. I didn't know that one. What Hollywood legend holds the record for having directed the greatest number of actors and actresses in Oscar-winning performances? Oh, coming up on the gold, the Oscars. That might be interesting. You ready? William Wyler with 14. The winners were Best Actress Audrey Hepburn, Roman Holiday, Barbara Streisand, Funny Communist, Oliva de Havilland, the heiress, Greer Garson, Mrs. Miniver, and Betty Davis, Jezebel. I love Betty Davis. I love this. I got a clip I play sometimes. If I find it, I'll play it for you. Where she's chewing out her boyfriend or her husband or her lover. I never loved you. And when you used to kiss me, I used to wipe my mouth. Wipe my mouth. And I used to play that, but the Clintons are having a spat. And Best Actor, Charlton Heston in Ben-Hur. And Frederick March, The Best Years of Our Lives. Best Supporting Actress, Faye Bainter and Jezebel, and Teresa Wright and Mrs. Miniver. Hugh Griffith and Ben-Hur. Harold Russell, The Best Year, Burl Ives, The Big Country. And Walter Brennan twice, Come and Get It and The Westerner. There were some good movies. Of course, they didn't have the technology to make them more real that we do today. But look what the movies were doing today. You can't flip a channel without seeing a half-naked girl terrorized with stab wounds being chased by a guy with a big knife. You can't go anywhere on TV without seeing that scene. And they got the Texas Chain Massacre. It's like a mass. It's like a religious ritual. And now you got all these vampire movies, and they all suck. What three nations share Borneo, the world's third largest island? Want me to guess? I'll say Indonesia, Sumatra, and Brunei. Let's see. Indonesia, Malaysia, and Brunei. I was close. Not bad, huh? Not bad for a high school graduate. Yeah, well, in my day, high school was a master's degree. Today they come out that they got to borrow your calculator to buy two hamburgers. How many times a minute can a giant anteater flick its long sticky tongue to slurp up a prey or taxes if he's a government anteater? 150, and he eats up to 30,000 insects a day. What entertainer once rapped, Will Smith, don't got a cuss in his raps to sell his records? Well, I do. Eminem, in his 2000 song, The Real Slim Shady, I hate rap music. I hate rappers. When you can't put your pants on without having them fall down, when you can't tie your shoelaces, when you can't put your hat on straight, and you got to talk with your hands, and you're not even Italian, forget about it. What piece of equipment inspired Massachusetts Shaker Tabitha Babbitt to invent the circular saw in 1813? I'm going to say the spinning wheel. The spinning wheel. Unbelievable. We've had some great people in our country. And man, we've had some crap. And all we get to see is the crap. We never see the good people. You never see all the work that some of these religious groups do. You never see all of the dedication of some people who are following in Christ's footsteps. It is really, it's too bad. And you know what? You never see good people. You know, you never see a guy who commits to a marriage for life and a girl who commits to the guy and marriage for life. You never see the families that make sacrifices for their children and manage to have one more instead of a trip to the Bahamas. What famous writer was the first to use the term skim milk? William Shakespeare, in his play King Henry IV, Part 1. Why was the color khaki originally used for military uniforms? My guess would be camouflage, but I don't think that's the answer. Oh, camouflage. It was first used by the British in India because it blended with the landscape. When soldiers turned their highly visible white uniforms khaki by soaking them in mud, coffee, and curry. So they did it deliberately. Boy, they should have learned that when they had those big shiny red coats when they came to take our guns away, like Obama is coming to take our guns away. Is he going to wear a red coat too? In email shorthand, what does the emotion at... Oh, I forget. I don't know how you say this sign. And then three dashes represent. There's three dashes and a comma, plus three more dashes and a comma represent in email shorthand. A long-stemmed rose. Look at it sideways. Oh, how nice. Happy Mother's Day to all moms among you. Oh, I guess the date was Mother's Day, May Sunday, 2007. How nice. Hang in, I'll give you a tune. Don't let these communists mislead you. This gun issue is not about shootings in schools. This Second Amendment issue is to protect the entire United States from enemies, both foreign and domestic. The right to bear arms also means the right to match firepower. You cannot give a guy a musket to stand up against a tank. He has to have the ability to seize the tank with a little more firepower than this communist government is willing to allow. And that's why the AR-15 has to be in the hands of people who, law-abiding citizens, who honor the Second Amendment and offer their lives to protect the United States. Do not buy the Nazi lie that the military will protect you. The military will be ordered to shoot you if you are unarmed and you protest too loudly. And if you're armed, the military will be ordered to shoot you to take your gun away and make an example of you to others so that they do not stand up to tyranny. So, the Second Amendment is not for hunters, as Mussolini Cuomo said. The Second Amendment is to keep you, me, and our children from being hunted. And if you don't think that an unarmed populace could be annihilated, then you haven't watched any World War II movies. And it just didn't happen in Europe. It happens all over the world. It happens in China. It happens in Africa. The only place it hasn't happened yet is here. But now, we've got some record-breaking bad news, and an example of that would be 9/11. First time in American history, we suffered a greater defeat than at Pearl Harbor, and the media covered it up. And there's 2,000 dead Americans in Afghanistan under Obama, and Bush only lost 461 in 8 years, and 461 was too many. But the 2,000 that Obama lost, the press covered it up, and they called them NATO troops. But the 461 that Bush lost, you got to see them every night on Marine Killing NBC. And they told you they were Americans, and they told you what towns they came from. And Code Pink and Cindy Sheehan went out to rub it in to the families who were getting their sons body back in a coffin draped with an American flag that 48 senators voted to burn. And Joe Biden was one of those senators who voted to burn that flag. If you don't believe me, buy my book, Spirit of America Party. 40 days before 9/11, Joe Biden signed the death warrant for the American flag. You can call it anything you want. It's like you can call a human being a fetus and murder it just by changing one name in the vocabulary. You can't say you're killing a kid, though, can you? God's going to get you.
Remember when guys used to sing songs about girls' names? Like Charmaine, Lily Marlene, Ramona, Lola, Hannah, Rosie O'Grady, Katie, Margie, Angelina, Sweet Caroline, Rosemary, Minnie DeMucha, Sweet Georgia Brown. Yep, they used to have a lot of girls' names. Wake up, little Susie.
Here's one for you. This girl's name is Gloria.
Not my room. down the window. Say sayonara. Don't let them take your gun.
Cracking up, I had my son laughing today. We were talking about how America has been wussified, and even the losers get trophies now. And I did a routine where, a kid couldn't pitch a ball, and they gave him a trophy, and then they also gave him the Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah. And now, if you want to talk about prizes, here's Bill Clinton has been named the Father of the Year. Are you kidding me? Are you pooping me? The Father of the Year. If this guy was a farmer, he'd be charged with crop failure. Yeah. Well, you know how that goes over at the Clinton household, when they bill and coo. Here's a sample. I found it.
You dirty swine! I never cared for you, not once. I was always making a fool of you. You bored me stiff. I hated you. It made me sick when I had to let you kiss me. I only did it because you begged me. You hounded me. You drove me crazy. And after you kiss me, I owe you to wipe my mouth. Wipe my mouth!
Have a nice night, folks.